Today is Wednesday, February 1st, Yud Shvat, and it is Parshat Bashalach, and we are going to be focusing on basically one word. Sorry, putting door knock disturb on. One word in the pasuk. I've taught these psukim several times, and every time I teach them, I find another word to focus on, just one word, and it's really amazing. So I'm really excited about this share. Hi, Monique, you made it. So exciting. We just started. Okay. So the word that we're going to be focusing on is just after the famous Song of the Sea, the song that Bnei Israel sang after witnessing the sea split for them and then come back and drown out the powerful Egyptian army. So we have to first look at the first line of when it's introduced with Moshe. So it says, Az Yashir Moshe v'nei Yisrael tashir azot l'Hashem. Then Moshe and the children of Israel sang this song. And it's interesting just to note, it's going to come up in a few commentaries. Shira versus Shir. So they're basically the same word, but one is feminine and one is masculine. Hi, Chaim. Nice crowd here today. Okay. So Shira Hazot, note that it's in the feminine song, to Hashem, Vayomru lo lemor, and they said, saying, and here is the first word of this song that we say every day in our morning prayers. Ashira Lashem, I will sing to God, ki ga'o ga'a sus v'rachva rama v'yam. For very exalted is he, a horse and its rider he cast into the sea. So that is the first line of the song, as said by Moshe to the children of Israel, which may or may not have been the men, most likely just the men. And then, if you can picture this in the Torah, so the way the whole rest of the song, which is in our Psukei Dezimra, morning Shacharit prayers, it's structured, it actually looks like the splitting of the sea. You have two lines going down each end and a line in the middle. So it's like the sea on either side and Bnei Yisrael going through the middle. And it looks like a poem in the Torah, if you opened up the actual Sefer Torah. And then at the end of the entire poem, which is several verses long, it switches back to regular format columns without any spaces or without any extreme spaces. And then you have in verse 20, so verse 1 through 19 is the poem. And then you have verse 20, Vatikach Miriam HaNeviah Achot Aaron, Miriam the prophetess, the sister of Aaron. I've taught classes just on those words. We're only going to mention them slightly this class. So what does it mean? Why is she a prophetess now? Why does it say the sister of Aaron? By the way, this is the first time Miriam's name is mentioned in the entire Torah, chapter 15 of Exodus. We haven't seen her name up until now. So what did she do? She took etatof biada. It says chimbrel, it's some kind of percussion instrument, some kind of drum in her hand. Vateitzana kol hanashim achareha, all the women went after her, bitupim, with this percussion instrument, ubimicholot, and with dances. Spent a lot of time talking about this word dances. It specifically means circle dances. We're not going to talk about that today. And then it says what she said, vata'an lahem Miriam. Miriam answered them, shiru lashem, sing to God, ki ga'o ga'a sus v'rachro rabma v'yam. He is very exalted, a horse and its rider he cast into the sea. Okay, so one important difference to note, when Moshe sings, he says, Ashira, I will sing in the future tense. And when Miriam sings, she says, Shiru, sing. It's in command plural form, sing now. So Moses is in the future, Miriam is in the present. There are lots of classes that deal with that difference there. This is not going to be one of them. We're going to focus on this word, lahem. Anybody want to take a guess why we're focusing on that word, lahem? What's weird about it in the context of the pasuk?
It's to males.
It's to male, yes. Vata'an lahem, Miriam. Miriam answered them, masculine. So a quick reading without paying attention, you think Moses, you can envision the scene at the other side of the sea. All the Egyptian army has been drowned. The children of Israel are inspired to sing this song of thanksgiving. Moses leads the men in song, Miriam leads the women in song. So without paying attention, you would just think Miriam's answering the women and telling them, sing to Hashem. This is how the women do it. But when you pay attention and you see the masculine, you have to wonder, what does this mean? So this whole class is going to be on this one word, lahem, to them masculine. Who is Miriam talking to? Okay? So the first source is going to be a midrash from the Mechilta. And this is what Rashi quotes in his explanation. So she took the drum or the tambourine in her hand. Where did Israel get these instruments? And I don't know why it's asking about dances. I think Rashi leaves them out. Rashi just asks about the drums in the wilderness. You know, they didn't even have time to let their bread rise. What are they doing packing instruments? Ela hatzadikim hayu muftachim. Rather, the righteous people, and Rashi here is much more explicit when he's bringing in this midrash, that it was righteous women. Here the midrash isn't as explicit. They were so sure and they knew that God would make miracles for them. And all of these wondrous things when they left Egypt. So they fixed for themselves these drums and dances, because they were so sure that it was so important to them that to pack these things for when the miracle would happen. Batan lehem Miriam, and Miriam answered them, Shir Lashem Kigoga, Sus Rafa Ramaviam, so the verse from the song. Magid HaKatuf, why? So it's implicit in this statement that is asking the question on the masculine. What does it mean she answered them, men? So the Pasuk tells us, Shamar Moshe Shira LaAnashim, Moshe sang a song to the men. Kach amra Miriam shira lenashim. Miriam sang the song to the women. Shenemar, as it says, shira lashem, sing to Hashem. So it's not really addressing the problem of lahem. Perhaps it's saying that the lahem to them masculine is hinting that Miriam, one of the sources is going to say this explicitly, Miriam was almost at such a high level that she was like a man, which doesn't really sit well in our 21st century feminist sensibilities, but we can imagine that men had more access to these things. And at that moment, the revelation was so great and all of Bnei Israel experienced it together that gender was done away with. There was no masculine, feminine. There was no higher level, lower level. Everyone was equal. And therefore, we do away with these gender-specific grammatical things. And we say that Miriam was the men, the women were the same as the men. That's perhaps what the Midrash is alluding to. Okay, this, I couldn't find the original source that this is quoting, but it is quoting the Imre Emet, who was the Rebbe of Gur. And
we have a question.
Oh yeah, go ahead.
It's not a question. I find it interesting that basically Miriam is just repeating what, you know, Moshe says, like she's not saying anything different. And maybe, like you said, she's saying it to the men because that's what, you know, Moshe said to the men, but maybe it's not written, but maybe she said something different to the women.
Right. So excellent point. There's a question among the Mefarshim. Did she just repeat the entire song that Moshe said to the women? Was it like the men were doing their thing, the women were doing their thing, but they were all inspired with these same words? Some of the Mefarshim we're going to see say that Miriam only said that one word, and there's a specific reason for why, I mean, one line, and there's a specific reason why she only mentioned the Egyptian army being thrown up in the sea and drowning, because that's what that line is. And that there is that slight difference of Ashira, Moshe saying, I will sing, and Miriam saying, Shiru, we're singing now. The Kabbalistic source, the Ma'or V'Shemesh, that everyone brings in, that I purposely didn't bring in, but I'll mention it to you, says that the women were at a level to appreciate the revelation in the present. They were present in the moment of the revelation, whereas Moshe and the men said, we know this isn't the final revelation, so Ashira, I will sing. There will be a time when I will sing. But Miriam and the women were present in a much higher level than the men because they were just enjoying the present moment. So that is one difference there that you can read into that. But excellent insight. Okay, so this is a commentary on the Gemara. And he quotes one of the Gera Rebbe's. And he says, Makshim Shayalo Lomar Vata'an Lahen. It should have said Vata'an Lahen with a nun instead of with a mem. Shahare Halashon Musav Ahanashim. The language is on women. Ve'amar she'efshar lefaresh al pi ma shekatzvu chazal. We can answer this according to what our rabbi said. And this is different from the Midrash we just read, but this is in the Gemara. I didn't bring the original source because it's all stated here very clearly. Shafilo ubarin shabame'e iman amru shira. That even the fetuses that were in their mother's wombs sang this song. It also says that nursing babies stopped nursing and they came and said this song also. Everybody said it. So even the fetuses in the womb stopped to sing this song. And then he explains, "Ubinehem bevadai hayaz charim gamkin." And among the fetuses, there were also males. Lefichach amral beleshon zachar, and therefore it's in the masculine, because as we know from Hebrew grammar, if there's 100 women and one man, then the plural becomes the masculine. So vatan lahem Miriam. Miriam isn't just speaking to the women, but she's also speaking to the fetuses inside the woman's womb, some of whom were masculine, and some of whom were boys, and some of whom were girls. So that's why it's in the masculine. I thought that was cute. Okay, the Shla HaKadosh, which is Rabbi Yeshayahu by Rabbi Avram Alevi Horowitz. If you know anybody with the last name Horowitz, they might be descended from the Shla, 16th century Prague. So he says, Matzinu inyanei beit tefila betrein anvein. He's saying there are two approaches to prayer. Dehainu tefilat tzricha liot behachna'a ke'oni bepetach. One approach is somebody who approaches prayer as a poor person at the threshold and completely humbled. Kidichtiv, as it says in Tehillim, a prayer for a poor man when he enwraps himself and pours out his speech before the Lord. So this is when you approach prayer, you come completely humbled, lowering yourself before God as a poor person at the threshold. V'amru rabbeinu zal, kol hasharim ninalu chutz mishare dma'ot. All of the gates are locked except for the gate of tears. So that's when you lower yourself, you cry, you call out to God. Aval, but hashirot, kamo shira de parsha zo, songs or poems, like in this parsha, ukitsebo, and similar to this, hu lehefech, this is the opposite approach to prayer. In shira ela mitoch simcha. You can't sing a song unless you are happy. Okay? So this is not about humbling yourself before God with tears streaming down your face. This is about pure joy. Od yesh lehitbonen, we have to consider. It says in our parsha, hashira hazot, the feminine, this feminine song. Ve'amru rabbeinu, and our rabbi said, ata shira b'lashon nekeva. Now we have a song in the feminine, mahu l'inyan. So this is an interesting notion. I think what he's quoting is a midrash that goes on to say that every song, there's 10 songs in the history of the Jewish people. 9 of them are in the Tanakh. The Haftorah for this week's parsha is the song of Devorah. It's another one. And the 10th song is going to be the song when Mashiach comes, and that is a Shir Chadash. You probably know that from Kabbalat Shabbat, Shir Chadash, a new song in the masculine. And the way they explain that, I've seen it explained, is that Shira Chadasha in the feminine, because it gives birth to new songs. It's all part of a process. But the final song, when Mashiach comes, Shir Chadash, is in the masculine because it can't reproduce. It's not going to give birth to new songs because it's going to be the end. It's going to be the ultimate redemption. So that's in the masculine. Okay, but this is clearly in this feminine. Od Yesh Kusha. We have another difficult. B'shirata anashim, in the song of the men, kativ hashira hazot, b'lashon nekeva, it's in the feminine. U'bishirat hanashim, and in the song of the women, that small little quotation we have from Miriam, nitapech m'lashon nekeva l'lashon zachar, it's switched from the feminine to the masculine, k'dichtiv etzal Miriam, as it says with regard to Miriam, v'ta'an lahem Miriam shiru la'ashem. And again, it's focusing on this one word, lahem, which is in the masculine. So for the men, it's in the feminine, and for the women, we have this switch to masculine. V'lahem hi lashon zachar. Lahem is masculine, d'lahen havale l'meimar. It should have said lahen. V'anshei hatzachot v'hamalitza, people who know how to write and use words, omrim, shemiriam im hanashim lo amru shira, ki hanashim pterot. So they say that Miriam, with the women, they didn't sing because the women were exempt from singing. We're going to see other commentators expand on why they may have been exempt and what that means. Rak yatsu betupim u'micholot. They didn't sing. They only came out with drums and dances, lismoach, in order for this joy. Ubau kamu bachorei Yisrael lirot besimchatam. And now this is very cute. A few young men of Israel came out to see their joy. Ve'az tzaka Miriam. And then Miriam yelled, bata'an lehem. She answered them, lechula aleichem b'makom she'omrim ha'anashim shira. Go to your tents, to the place where the men are singing. Don't sit here watching the women. Okay, so it's a rebuke. Vatan lahem Miriam. Miriam answered them, masculine, having to rebuke these young men who came out to see the women in their joyous dancing. So that's what the Shla says. Aval, Rabbeinu Zal, but our rabbis, and it quotes the Midrash that we saw in the Mechilta, Minagdim Devarza, they're against to this explanation of the Shla. Shamru Kamo Shamar Moshe Rabbeinu, Alav Shalom, Shira, V'Yisrael Anu Acharav. They said that just like Moshe Rabbeinu said the song and Israel answered after him, Ken Amra Miriam Venashim Achara, so too Miriam and the women after her. So that those are the two explanations given in the Shla, this rebuke of the young boys coming to watch the women, or quoting the Midrash that we saw that they were all on the same level. Okay, Rabbeinu Bechaya, he's 16th century Spain, I think. This is a totally different context. Vaya aslahem batim. This is from Shmot Perek Aleph with the midwives. When the midwives didn't listen to Hashem, and they let, not only did they let the Jewish babies live, but they helped them, they enlivened them. And it says that they feared God and he made them houses. Okay? Now, if any of you went to Jewish day school or you studied this in a traditional context, Rashi there says, he, with a capital H, made them houses, the house of priesthood and the house of kingship, because Aaron would be descended from Yocheved, who was from Levi, and Miriam would marry Kalev, who was from Yehuda, and the kings would descend from her. Okay? So that's how most of you understand it, but you can already see that we have the same issue here. It doesn't say vayas lahen, feminine plural. It says vayas lahem. It's talking about the midwives, or is it? Okay, so he goes on to explain about what I just told you, about Yocheved and Miriam being the midwives. That's not what I told you, but that's what he explains. Ubior hakatuv al derech hapshat. And he says that the simple contextual meaning for this pasuk, since the midwives feared God, more than they feared the king, Paro, and they enabled the baby boys to live. So it's not a capital H, it's a lowercase h here. He, Paro, made them houses. Who did he make houses for? Yisrael. He made houses for the Jewish people. Klomar, shehu shiv lahem shomrim. He placed them as in being guarded. V'hamid beit mitzri echad ben shnei beitim shel Yisrael. And he put up an Egyptian household in between two Israelite households, houses, literal houses, structures, kedei shelo yuchlu lastir yaladim mehem, so that the Israelites wouldn't be able to hide their babies from them. And so, vayas lehem batim, not the way you originally noted that God made for the midwives these metaphorical houses. Rather, Paro made for all of Israel, lahem in the masculine, houses that he put Egyptian houses in between the Jewish houses so that they wouldn't be able to get away with letting the baby boys live. And then he brings us his proof, v'chein v'tan lahem Miriam. And so too our pasuk, Miriam answered them, masculine, chozer li Israel. This goes back on the Israel, all of Israel, not just the women, v'lo hanashim. Not the women afterwards. And then he doesn't elaborate on what she actually said to them, but it goes along with what else we've read. Okay. We're going to skip that one. So Mishivat Nefesh, who is Rabbi Yochanan ben Rabbi Aaron Luria, 15th century France. So he says, Vatikach Miriam and Neviah. Vata'an lahem Miriam. So again, he's focusing on this word. Shiru la'ashem, sing to Hashem. Tema li. So what's his question? My question is, mipnei ma hotzia et atzma min haklal shamra shiru. So he has a different question at first. He's saying, why did Miriam take herself out of the general population? What does he mean by that? Miriam says, shiru, you sing, as opposed to Moshe, who says, I will sing. Moshe's including himself among B'nai Israel in their all singing, whereas Miriam is saying, you sing, taking herself out. She's not saying, let us sing. She's saying, you sing. Moshe puts himself into the general population when he says, I will sing. Rashi also explained, Moshe amar shira, lehemoni macharav. Moshe said a song and they answered after him. Miriam amar shira, lenashim. And Miriam said a song to the women. Vilo peresh hi amra vehem oni machareha. So he's paying very close attention to Rashi's words. So it's not an exact parallel structure the way Rashi puts it. Moshe sang and they answered after him. Miriam sang to the women, but it doesn't say, and they answered after her. And the question is, why is Rashi mentioning Moshe here at all in his explanation? Why couldn't he? That was clear to us that Moshe sang and they answered. Miriam, it's not so clear. Why couldn't Rashi there have just said Miriam sang a song to the women to explain what was going on? And then I have to admit, I'm bragging a little. I was very proud of myself that I was able to translate the next three words. It's very mellifluous Hebrew. V'he'ironi klayotai v'digdakti b'zeh. So this is my kidneys awakened in me. So according to ancient Jewish thought, kidneys are where our thought comes from, where we do our deep thinking. So my kidneys awakened in me, meaning he had this deep thought. And I checked this, umatzati she'en safek etzli, and I found that there is no doubt with regard to me. She'esh mitzvah gdola b'shir v'shavach, kol echad v'echad kefi kochol b'shavach. There's a great mitzvah in singing and praising. So it's a mitzvah, we have to do it. But each one, according to his strength, will praise. Behu l'chol inyan v'inyan l'fi mahoto v'kochol shel adam. And this is in every matter according to the character and the strength of a person. Like we see in Tehillim, that's what Na'im Zmirot is, refers to David, who is the pleasant singer. So in Tehillim, that you praise God with all sorts of song and all sorts of instruments. Gam berikud, also with dance. This is a beautiful passage about the arts in Judaism and self-expression, and that he includes all forms of self-expression. Arts, instruments, dance, and they're all valid and legitimate ways of praising God and rejoicing. So also in dance, when he brought the ark back to Jerusalem, he did this crazy dancing, and his wife even yelled at him about that because he looked like he was doing a little bit too much, but it was with the right intent. Gam bekan, nir'eh shehad tzadkaniyot shebemitzrayim hayu betuchim benes. Also here, repeating what the Midrash said, that the righteous women, but he's being more feminine, as the Midrash we said, that wasn't explicitly saying women. The righteous women in Egypt were so sure of the miracle, that they fixed, they prepared drums, and they brought them out with them. They let off whatever Egyptian adornments they had, and they held on to the adornment of this mitzvah. And it was established, this action of the woman in the Torah, in this Parsha, to teach us for generations to behave like they did. That they were intended for the sake of heaven, and that you would see from them the honor of God, O kavod haTorah, or the honor of the Torah, or kavod Yisrael, or the honor of all of Israel, O lechatan v'kala, or whether you're trying to make a chatan, a bride and a groom happy, k'moshe nimtza v'simchat beit ha'shoeva, like we see in this celebration, k'moshe hifligu be'omanot, ekev betzad godel, o bezrikat avukot. He's mentioning here different things that somebody might do at a wedding to make the bride and groom happy, I'm not sure what this is, Eka Bitzat Gadol, but this is throwing torches, and we still see that today sometimes at wedding, that people juggle fire. Oshea Kovea Etzba O Eretz Venoshek Etzaritzba, or maybe he's standing on his head, I think it's describing, and then he kisses the ground, he lowers himself down from standing on his head. Uki Iluze Simchat Shel Kavod. And these are all joyousness of honor. And then he goes on a little rant here, which is, the language is very colorful. V'lo k'mo shechashvu hatipshim, and not like the stupid people thought, b'inyan hashir, with regard to song, tzoakim apotchim epihem kechamor no'er, where they scream and they open their mouths like a braying donkey. O shenoagin v'rikud k'minhag meshugaim, or they engage in dance as the custom of the crazy people, b'bilbul b'merutzah heitav v'enei hashir, that it's confusing dances and they do whatever they feel is right in the eyes of the song. Ein zeshir, this is not song. Ki im kol anut v'yalala, this is just wailing and screaming and yelling out. Yinagu lifnei ha-meshugaim v'chasirei dat, and that's how they behave before the crazy people and those lacking knowledge. V'lo lifnei Hashem Yitbarach, and that's not how you behave before God. V'ein chiluk kavod b'zeh, and there's no honor in this. Okay, so that's his little rant. And now we see the limitations here of what's written in the Torah, and it's repeated in the prophets, and it's a third time in the writings. So Torah we see, Miriam the prophetess took the drum. The one who is suitable, who's fitting to drum, she should drum. And the one who's suited to dancing should dance. So again, this goes back to his original question. Why did she exclude herself from the general population by saying, you sing? So it says, because of her old age and the weakness of her strength, that her voice was weak because she was well into her 80s at this point. Barcha min hashir. She fled from the song. Ve'amra l'ruyot l'shir shiru. And she said to those who should sing, sing. Ve'amicholot ve'rakud lo haya ra'uila. Also, she didn't dance. She was too old. U'malechet hatof ena monea hazikna. And an elderly woman doesn't have to refrain from drumming. She can still drum. Ve'da shemirim bevaday haitazkena. And know that Miriam was really old. And then he goes on to describe a lot of things about older women and how they are too weak and they can't dance and they can't sing, but they can drum, and that's what Miriam did. So we're going to not do the rest of it. But it does say at the end that even though Miriam herself didn't sing, Miriam zerza hanashim haruyot lashir. Miriam did encourage the women who could sing to sing, which is a really beautiful idea about Miriam and her leadership and what she knew about her own capabilities and encouraging others in theirs. Okay, so now the Kli Yakar. Rav Shlomo Ephraim Ben Aaron Linshitz, who's 16th century Prague, and he took over for the Maharal of Prague, if you've heard of him, when he passed away. And this is really beautiful. So the first part of this is from Pasuk Aleph, so the opening of the song. And in order to understand what he's going to say specifically about Miriam and our word, we have to read this first part as well. So it's two paragraphs. V'kdei le'yashav yatur hashira hazot. So he wants to settle this song. Ki ayalo lomar az yashir Moshe uvin Yisrael la'ashem. So he's dealing with another syntactual issue where it should have said, then Moshe and Bnei Yisrael sing to God. Omer ani sheyesh bo remez l'mash amru chazal. This is a hint to what our rabbi said. Ra'ata shivcha ahayam mashalo ra'a yechezkel. So it's a midrash that says that a handmaid, so the lowest of the low of people on a hierarchy, a female, a handmaid, she saw on the sea what Yechezkel, Ezekiel, the most descriptive prophet in the prophets who describes this chariot that you're not even supposed to learn until you're 40 years old, this beautiful detailed description of the chariot. She saw this handmaid, she saw what Ezekiel wasn't able to see. Valpelaze Namar Atashira Hazot. And on this wonderment of this mini revelation before next week's parsha, when we have the revelation of Mount Sinai, they sang this song, Ratzalomar Ashira Shel Zot Hanekeva. That is to say, the song of this female, Kigam Hanekevot Amruza Keli Vanvehu, because also the woman said, this is my God and I will adorn him. And whenever Rashi points out, ze keli, this is my God, that whenever you have the word ze or zot, it means there's something tangible out there that you can point to. So they actually saw an image, a vision of something godly that they were able to point to. And both the men, all the men and the women saw this thing and were able to say, this is my God. And according to this, we can surmise that the Kli Yakar felt that even though it only says one line of the song with regard to the women, that they sang the whole song as well, every word, including, this is my God and I will adorn him. V'divar zeh haya plia b'enehem, and this was a wondrous thing in their eyes, shenekeva tesovev gever, the female circles the man. This is a pasuk from Jeremiah, Yirmiyahu, that there's going to be a new thing at some point in the future where the feminine is going to circle the man. Ma'ayin dugma shalatid, something is going to happen in the future between the genders. Be'ulai shalzeh amru chazal, and maybe it's on this that the rabbi said, shar lo ne'amar, it doesn't say he sings, ela yashir, rather he will sing. Mikan l'tchiyat hamitim min ha-Torah, and this hints to the resurrection of the dead in the Torah, the fact that it's in the future tense. What's the connection between this song and the resurrection of the dead? Remember, this is 16th century, what I'm about to translate for you. So it says, just as in the next world, everyone will be stripped from everything material, and then masculine and feminine will be equal. Kach gam ahayam ra'ata gam hashifcha. So too on the sea, the handmaid saw ziv kvodo, the light of his honor, yitbarach, may be blessed, me'en dugma shalatid, an example of what would happen in the future, as it says in Yirmiyahu, nekeva tesovev gever, the feminine will circle the masculine. Nechach ne'amar v'shirazo, Yashir, and that's why we have the use of the future tense in this song. He will sing lehaba in the future. Mashma shekem she'amru kulam zekeli vanvehu. Just as everyone here was able to point to something and say, "This is my God," everyone saw the same thing. Kach kulam yomru latid. So too, everyone will say in the future. Hine elokenu ze kemo she'amru zal. This is our God, just like our rabbi said. She tzadikim yu marim alav be'etza. That, again, on this word, zeh, that the righteous people will point to God with a finger. And on this wonderment, they said this song. And that's why it says, back to our word, and she answered them in the masculine. Like she was speaking to the men. Like I'll explain below, and here's where he explains below in verse 20. V'tikach Miriam ha-Neviyah, Miriam the prophetess took, Achshav na'aset Neviyah. She became a prophetess now. This is different than the Midrash that says, why is she called the prophetess, the sister of Aaron? Because before Moses was born, when she was just the sister of Aaron, she prophesied that her parents would have another child who would save the Jewish people, and this is when that prophecy is coming to fruition. So the Kli Yakar is not going with that Midrash. He's saying, no, at this exact moment, Miriam became a prophetess. Ki b'mamad zeh zachu gam hanashim lerot p'nei ha-Shechina. Because it was at this moment that the women also merited to see the face of the Shechina. Ad she'amru kulam zeh keli, until they were all able to say, this is my God, with pointing. Kamo she'amru chazal, as the rabbi said, ra'ata shifcha aliyam. Like he said before in the previous paragraph, the handmaid saw at the sea what Ezekiel wasn't able to see. That's why the pasuk says all the women came out after her. The prophecy began with Miriam. And then it sort of trickled down to all the women. Because they all merited prophecy. And now this is very interesting. Remember, 16th century. Since the Shekhinah only rests when there's joy, so you can't have the Shekhinah if you're sad. And women, because they have pain in childbirth, have a lower level of happiness. That's why she had to take the drum in her hand. And all the women after her with drums and dances, to increase their joyousness so that the divine spirit would rest upon them from joyousness, that they would create through the musical instruments and the dancing, which the men didn't need because they don't have the pain of childbirth. Why does it say the sister of Aaron? Because Miriam was equal to Aaron in prophecy, aval lo leMoshe. Moshe was on a different level. And that's what we learn at the end of the Parsha Balotcha. That's where Miriam gets sara'as, leprosy, for saying, aren't we prophets also? And we see that Miriam and Aaron are equal, but not Moshe. V'lashon mecholot, and why was there dancing? So he says it's not dancing. He says it's a matter of michilat avon, of being forgiven of sin. V'chein katav Rabbeinu Bachaya, and that's what Rabbeinu Bachaya said, which we didn't read, but we saw a different Rabbeinu Bachaya. V'ulay shezo shemasik v'yalkut pasuk v'yisa Moshe. So anybody who has a miracle happen to him and he says a song like this, then all his sins will be forgiven. And that's why it says michalot, for this forgiveness. Umashamar vatan lahem Miriam. And that, so again, this is focusing on our word, vatan lahem, sorry, to them, masculine. Lahen mi bai lelememar. It should have said lahen with the nun. Ela lefisha ahayam bao anashim lamadragat haanashim. Rather, at the sea, the women came to the level of the men, behasagat nivuah, in their grasp of prophecy. Alkein ne'amar lahem, kimedabrim lizcharim. Therefore, it uses the masculine as if they're talking to men because they went up a notch in their level of spirituality. V'chein la'atid ne'amar, and also in the future, we're going to say, and again, he quotes this pasuk from Yirmiyahu, nekeva tesovev gever. The feminine will circle or surround the man. This, by the way, might be the source at a wedding for the women circling the groom, because that will be the future, that they'll be equal, and she's representing that under the chuppah, which is super cool to think about, and also makes for people who want to do that. I was at a wedding once where he circled three times, she circled three times, they circled together three times. So you don't, like, it almost goes against that, because it's saying, no, we are projecting this future equality that's going to happen that's represented by that. Okay, now, so that all of those sources were basically based on this idea that Miriam was somehow answering the men or women who had risen to the level of men, and no other characters were introduced. This next midrash takes a totally different view of what happened, and it's super interesting, and we're going to see, hopefully we'll have time for both of them, otherwise we'll just do one. Another interpretation of this verse, the first verse, then sang. So, as Yashir, then they sang. When Israel was camping by the sea, the ministering angels, the Malachei Asharet, came to praise the Holy One. But the Holy One did not give them permission, as stated, and the one did not come near the other. It also says in Isaiah, and one cried unto the other. To whom are they comparable? To a king whose son was taken prisoner. He clothed himself in vindictiveness against his enemies. When he went to bring him back, the people came to utter a hymn for him. He said to them, when I have redeemed my son, then you will praise me. Similarly, Israel was put in distress by the sea. The ministering angels came to praise him. So the angels wanted to praise God already before the Israelites were redeemed. He rebuked them. The Holy One said to them, when my children are put in distress, would you offer me praise? When they come up from the sea, Israel and the ministering angels wanted to utter a song. Okay, so now afterwards, now that the Egyptians are dead, now they want to sing. Rabbi Avin the Levite said, to what is matter comparable? To a king who went down to battle and won. His son and his servant came to him, and in their hands was a crown to put on the king's head. They came to the king and said to him, your son and your servant are standing by with a crown in their hands. Who will enter first? He said to them, you fools! Shall my servant precede my son? let my son enter first. Similarly, when Israel came up from the sea, Israel and the ministering angels came to utter a song. The Holy One said to the ministering angels, let Israel be first. Then sang Moses and the children of Israel. Okay, so that's the men. Now the Midrash goes on to say, the women and the ministering angels were found to be standing by. Who would offer praise first? Okay, so the men offered their praise against the angels' wishes. The angels were pushed back. Now the angels are with the women. And who's going to go first between the angels and the women? Rabbi Chiya bar Abba bar Shalom says, he made peace between them as stated, singers come first and follow musicians in the midst of timbrel playing maidens from Tehillim. The singers come first and follow musicians. These are Israel. And that's the men. And afterwards, then follow musicians. These are the angels. And afterwards, in the midst of timbrel playing maidens, these are the women. Okay, so according to this Rabbi Chiya bar Abba, it went men, angels, women. Rabbi Levi said, by the heavens, I do not accept this interpretation. Rather, the women first offered praise, simply because then follow the musicians, these are Israel, in the midst of timbrel playing maidens, these are the women. The ministering angels began to complain to Holy One. This is crazy. They said, is it not enough for the men to precede us, but are the women to do so as well? The Holy One said to him, as you live, yes. That's all he says, okay? And that's really the end of the story. Yes, angels, the women come before you, okay? So that's the whole Midrash. The rest isn't really relevant to us. And then the angels were able to sing after the women. Crazy Midrash. So we're going to see a couple things. I'm going to skip this one. He just repeats the Kli Yakar and then puts it in even stronger words. He says, he adds to it that Vata'an Lehem Miriam. Miriam answered the angels, yes, you wait. Miriam is saying to the angels, you wait. Okay? Okay. So then we have, I think I'm going to skip this too. This is, he's become my favorite commentary. I brought him in a lot. He's the one that was killed with his community in Auschwitz. But we are going to see his grandfather. So his grandfather, Rav Shimon ben Rav Avraham Shmuel Benjamin Sofer, whose grandfather is the Chatam Sofer, and that's what we're going to skip to. We're going to skip to the Chatam Sofer. We're going to finish with him. Okay, so, and this, if you are on my email list and you got the sources, there I found, after I had found this source, okay, so I found this source first, and then I was searching some things on the web, and I found an English website sort of summarizing this source. So it doesn't give the whole source, and I want to go over the whole thing with you. But it's a nice summary if you want to be reminded of the main point of this source. You can go on to the source sheet in the email and look at it. It comes right after this on page 8. So, Vatan la Miriam shir la Hashem ki goga susrach ramaviam. So Miriam answered them, sing to Hashem because he is highly exalted. The horse and rider were thrown up in the sea. Yesh lamar. Lama Amra Miriam Shira Rak Al Puranut Hamitzrim Sus Verochvo Ramavayam. Why did Miriam's song, and he's assuming that her song was only this one line, not the whole 19 verses as we saw with Moshe and the men, why in Miriam's song did she only mention the revenge on the Egyptians that the horse and rider were thrown up into the sea? Belo Amra Gam Al Hatzalat Yisrael. And she didn't mention anything about saving Israel. Kamosha Amru Moshe B'nai Israel. Like Moshe and B'nai Israel said, Nachita b'chastecha amzu ga'alta. With your loving kindness, you led the people, you redeemed. V'nir'ah, so it seems, di'ita b'midrash. We have in a midrash, Amru malachei asharet, im ha'anashim kadmu lanu lomar shira, nashim lama kadmu lanu. So this is a midrash we just quoted, where the angels say, okay, so the men came before us, the women are also going to come before us? And God says, by your life, yes. But alzeh, and on this, vatan la Miriam la malachei asharet, Miriam answered the angels. B'yesh lamar, but we have to say, ma antab azeh la malachei asharet v'tamua. We don't know what she answered them, right? The Midrash is cuts off after that. We have no idea what she, how she answered them, what she said to them, and it's a question. V'nakdim tchila v'yeshev kushya tosvot al harashbam. So he's going to go on a little tangent to get back to the answer now, which will all come back. And it's really cool when I've actually learned all of these little tangential things that he brings down, and the way he pulls them together is really awesome. So there's an argument between Tosfot, and the Rashbam. They're both in the same generation of Rashi's grandchildren. Tosfot is a group of rabbis, which includes a few of Rashi's grandchildren, and the Rashbam is also Rashi's grandson, but usually he's independent. So in Megillah, it says, Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi says, Nashim chayavot b'megillah, she'af hen hayu be'oto hanis. Women are obligated in the reading of the Megillah on Purim, and then it has this amorphous phrase, that even they were part of the same miracle. V'chein amar Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi gam ba'arba kosot. So that's in Masechet Megillah. Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi is quoted as saying something very similar in Pesachim, about Pesach, about the four cups, that women are also obligated. And also in Masechet Shabbos, when it talks about Hanukkah, that women are also obligated in lighting of the Hanukkah candles. We've talked about that before. I've given classes on that. U'mifaresh Rashbam. So Rashbam explains this amorphous phrase of Afhen hayu be'oto anis. She'ikar hanis na'aseh al yadehem. What does it mean? It means that the main part of the miracle was done through them. So in Purim, it was through Esther. In Chanukah, it was through Yehudit. And Pesach, it was through all the righteous women. And that's what he says there. V'hikshe b'tosvot. But Tosvot, they're Rashbam's cousins or brothers. They have a difficulty on this. Lefiza my af hen. So they say, that doesn't make any sense how you're translating it. Because the word af means even. Even they were part of the same miracle. And that makes it sound like the women are secondary. And that even if the main part of the miracle is done through them, they were still secondary. Even they. You see, you hear it? So that's a difficulty. B'yesh le'yeshev ki yadua nes. Ra'ui lehikare ma she'akadosh baruch hu mishaded hateva u'marachot shamayim. So he's defining the word nes, miracle. So what is a miracle? A miracle is when God completely pushes aside nature and the whole heavenly system, the whole natural system. V'yadua deteva mishubedet le'torah. And it's known that nature is in servitude to Torah. Okay? Meaning, nature has to listen to the Torah. T'nai hitna kadosh baruch hu b'maseh b'reshit al-manat she'kablu Yisrael to Torah. V'im lo yikablu yichzaru l'tov avahu. So another midrash where it says that God made a condition on the whole act of creation. And this is based on the fact that on the sixth day of creation, when God created animals and man, it says Yom HaShishi, the sixth day. It doesn't say the on any other day. It has second day, third day, fourth day, fifth day, the sixth day. So there's all these different midrashim around that. And one of them explains that God made this condition on creation, that it was all on the condition that Israel accept the Torah. On the HaShishi, on the sixth day of Sivan, which is when we celebrate Shavuot, the acceptance of the Torah. And that's why you have the letter He. And if they don't accept it, then the whole world will return to void and nothingness. Tohu vavohu. U'bishvil HaTorah nikret Reshit nivra olam. And the Torah, which is called Reshit, and the first word of the Torah is Bereshit, which we can understand as for the sake of this entity, Reshit, which means Torah, for the sake of the Torah, the whole world was created. U'mishubedet teva ha'olam le'Torah, and Torah, the nature of the world is in servitude to Torah. Like it says in the Yerushalmi, on the Pasuk, upon the God who completes what he promised for me. And then he gives this crazy situation, which I had to learn in my training to be a Yuatzit. And it's a little, it's controversial, so try to get past the weirdness of it, because we're going to focus on the miraculousness and how nature is in servitude to Torah, and there's a halachic reality, even if it doesn't fit the natural reality, it's in servitude to Torah, and the halachic reality becomes a reality. So it's describing a minor girl who's 3 years old in one day. If her hymen is broken, then it's never repaired. But if she's less than 3 years old, then her hymen returns and she becomes like a virgin again. Okay, I don't want to think too much about this. I don't want you to think too much of this. Okay? But if she turned 3 years in a day and the Beit Din decided that it was going to be a leap year, So they're going to add a month, okay? And we always, the month they always add is the second Adar. So if it's a leap year and they decide, even if the first Adar was already over, they decide to go back and it's not going to be Nisan suddenly, it's going to go back and be Adar. And that girl turned 3 years in a day, and so her hymen wouldn't have been repaired. It's retroactive as if it would be repaired because she's no longer 3 years in a day. She has a whole nother month to be 3 years, to be less than 3 years old. It's a crazy situation, but the reason why he's bringing it here is to prove how nature is in servitude to Torah. And Torah makes the ultimate decision to decide it. And then he goes on to say, Kol kama de gadol zchutan shel tzadikim, mishubad hatavel hishtanot letzarcham veletovatam. The greater a person's merits of a tzadik, the greater nature goes out of its way to change itself for their good. And that would not be considered a great miracle if it's being done within nature. Okay? Umemela hanes ba'asmato katan, and this would be a very small miracle, kimuchrachu b'teva, because nature forces it, because nature wants to bend its will to the righteous people who keep Torah. V'kol kama dezutre schutaihu, but if their merits are small, kach yitzgadel hanes ba'asmato, then the miracle has to be even greater because nature doesn't feel any obligation towards people who don't have great merits. Okay, does that? I know it's hard, but that's what it's saying. V'hine kan shebeskut nashim tzadkaniot nigalu, and here because we were redeemed because of the righteous women, v'nafish schutaihu shel anashim, and the women's merits were so great she'anachnu nigalnu b'skutam, that we were redeemed because of them, because of their merits. Imkein lenashim nitkaten lehen hatshua vegula miyot nes. Therefore, for the women, if it were just up to redeeming the women, it wouldn't have been such a big miracle, because nature would have bent its will to the women to make it look like it was a natural occurrence. Ki v'teva huchrach lehem, because the nature was obligated to them. U'bemet haya kasha l'rashbam, and this is why it's difficult for the Rashbam, that Rabbi Yehoshua ben Levi in that Gemara says that women are obligated in reading the Megillah because they too were part of the same miracle. She'af mashma shehen tfilot. The word af implies that they're secondary. Halo hema gam kein be'oto gzera v'tzara v'hayu nigalim. They were part of the same the same decree and the same troubles, and they were redeemed. L'chein meferesh harashbam she'ikar nes nasa ayidan b'schutam nigalu. And therefore, Rashbam explains that the main part of the miracle was done through them, and in their merits, they were redeemed. V'imkein kevan she'gatol z'chutan kol kach tikaten lehem hage'ula. And since their merits were so great, the redemption part is smaller miyot lihikarot nes, in terms of being called a miracle. Ve'enan rak tzfilot v'nes, and they were secondary to the miracle. The great miracle of the redemption was not done for the women, because the women didn't need a great miracle, because nature would have bent its will to them. Ve'ayim kein lefizeh ein aleihem chov kol kach lomar shira, and therefore the women don't have such a great obligation to sing a song. Aval mikol mekom, yesh lomar im ki zchutam gadol shenigalu mimitzrayim al yadam. So if their merits were so great that they were redeemed from Egypt by way of them, aval l'raton hanashim ayin b'ayin b'mapalat hason'im tviyat mitzrayim b'yam suf al zeh ra'ui shetomru shira. So what obligated the women, what inspired the women to sing a song? Not the great miracle, because that wasn't for them. That was for the men who had less merit. But seeing the enemies perish and be done with through God at the sea, that was something that they didn't expect to be able to see. It was expected that they would be redeemed, but to be able to see the downfall of their enemies, that wasn't what they expected or felt they deserved or merited, and therefore that's what inspired the women to sing the song. Ki hateva mishubad l'torah l'kiyum ha-torah, aval lo l'ravot b'nekamot ha-sonim. Exactly, the nature is subservient to Torah, but not to the extent that you would see the revenge on the enemies. Ke'en ze b'teva, because that's not in nature. Ve'en ze kol kach hechrach l'kiyum ha-mitzvot, and it's not so necessary for keeping the mitzvot. And that's why the women said the song. And now we go back to our midrash. So he's adding words into the midrash. And he says that here's what the angel said. If the men come before us to sing a song, okay, because there was a great miracle done for them. But the women, that they were secondary for the miracle, they didn't need this great miracle. Why should they go before us, the angels? And this is what Miriam answered to them. Hey, Shiva Miriam. Miriam responded to the angels, which is such a cool... I tried to find some image to manifest this image of Miriam answering the angels and yelling at them. Shiru Lashem Sheshiratenu Hu Kiga'o Ga'asus Ruch Ruchmam Aviyam Alma Palatzon Im Shehu Nes Gadol Ki Inen Abateva. So Miriam says to them, our song is that the God's greatness and that the horse and rider were thrown up in the sea and the fall of the enemies, this is a great miracle that's not in nature. And the Chatam Sofer says this was a great answer she gave to them. And that's why the women only said this one line on the falling of the enemy that they were able to see with their own eyes. Because the prophetess Miriam is giving this miracle importance. That they also merited to see the avenge of their enemies. Eye to eye, that they saw it with their own eyes. Im gam hema nashim tzadkaniyotahu, even though they were great righteous women. So what he's saying is that the great miracle that happened was because of the small merit of the men. If it were just up to the women, then we wouldn't need this disruption of nature in order to be redeemed. It would have happened in a very natural way. And that's why the women didn't really sing this whole song. They just sang this one line of the merit of being able to see the revenge of that God put on their enemies. So that was the great unexpected bonus miracle for the women. And that's why they got to precede the angels. And that was Miriam's answer to the angel, that we still are on a higher level than you to be able to sing this song. And the reason we're not going first before the men is because we didn't need this great miracle. The men are singing this song because they didn't merit it, and the God had to create this ultra supernatural situation to redeem the Jewish people. And please God, when the final redemption does come, it will, because we all merit a natural passageway into the next world, and we will merit to all be able to experience that through the leadership of the women as shown by Miriam, the prophetess. Okay, thanks everybody.